Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that Jesus lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. This is how we know that Jesus lives in us. We know it by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that he gave us. You know, we are living, it's what's often called the era of the Holy Spirit. And I long for every Christian, every salvationist, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's the good of admitting the existence of the Holy Spirit if you haven't got an experience of the Holy Spirit? Isn't that right? Can I say it again? What's the good of admitting the existence of the Holy Spirit if you haven't got an experience of the Holy Spirit? You know, there's a lot of ignorance, even amongst Christians, about the Holy Spirit and his activity in our lives. And perhaps that explains why so many Christians lack power for purity. Why so many Christians are no different from their non-Christians next door. Why so many Christians lack peace in their own heart and mind. Because they are ignorant about the experience of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Do you believe that? But the Holy Spirit should not be a puzzle mystery. Because the Holy Spirit is simply God at work in the world. And God at work in the believer, you and me. Because God at work in us is the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I'm going to say to you, ask yourself the question, am I allowing the Holy Spirit to be at work in my life? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to be active in my experience? Because I have to tell you, the Holy Spirit is indispensable. That's the name of the topic of my talk tonight, the indispensable Holy Spirit. Now, how's your knowledge of words? What's indispensable mean? It means something essential. Something you can't do without. It is indispensable. Say it. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is indispensable to our experience. If anyone does not have the Spirit, we read in Romans 8, 9, he doesn't belong to Christ. So I'm going to say four things about the indispensability. That's a big word, isn't it? Four things about the indispensability of the Holy Spirit. And you've got to stay with me to hear all four of them too. First of all, the Holy Spirit is indispensable to our salvation. To the beginning of your life as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is indispensable. When you are converted, and you are changed from one life to another through the cross of Jesus Christ, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, saying that you accept Jesus Christ as the greatest teacher in history doesn't make you a Christian. Saying that Jesus Christ's moral teaching you accept doesn't make you a Christian. Saying my father was a Christian and I'm following my father's religion doesn't make you a Christian. You can only be a Christian when you are born again of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is essential. We come into the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit working in our lives, showing us Jesus Christ, seeing his cross and its meaning, and we are born again Someone has said this. It was pretty cool, I thought. Being born in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian any more than being born in a garage would make you a motor car. You just don't absorb Christianity like that. You don't become a Christian just by sticking around with other Christians. You have to be born again by the Holy Spirit. And you know, that's the very first teaching that Jesus Christ gave about the Holy Spirit. He was talking to a very highly educated, morally correct man called Nicodemus. And Jesus said to him, if you want to be my follower, you must be born again of the Holy Spirit. He was so dull, even though he was so clever, that he said, how can a person be born for the second time in his mother's womb? He wasn't really understanding what Jesus meant. It's not physical birth, it's spiritual birth, isn't it? We can be born once of a physical birth to a physical life on earth, but we can be born a second time by a spiritual birth to a spiritual life through the Holy Spirit. So you must, Jesus said, be born again. And that's when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see who Jesus is and gives you faith to believe in Jesus Christ for your life. But you know, sin makes you blind. Our clever brain is able to rationalize. And what is really sinful and wrong, it actually can tell us it's right and good. When people are saying, I'm having a good time, it can be pretty much the opposite of what I mean by good. But your mind tells you it's okay. You can rationalize what is wrong and sinful and bad. And then you just say, oh, well, it's a silly mistake. Or they are, you know, human errors, foibles. And your brain tells you, under the influence of Satan, that it's okay. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he suddenly opens your eyes and your mind to see those things that you excused and passed off are really wrong and hold you back from finding God. We are changed when the Holy Spirit comes to us and we get born again and the whole of life gets rearranged and we change our priorities and we enter into the kingdom of Jesus Christ and become Christians. And through the Holy Spirit, a person can find faith in Jesus Christ. You know, faith is not intelligence. You know that here there are pictures on the wall of William and Catherine Booth up there. Catherine Booth was a great preacher. And she said this once. If a person, because she had a very English voice, if a person could be saved by their intelligence, the devil would have been converted long ago. Yes. Holy Spirit helps you to have faith, which contradicts often your brain, which is so clever, telling you to rationalize away all that you know is wrong. The Holy Spirit helps you to have faith. And it says in the Bible, no one can call Jesus Christ Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. You know, in Australia, one day in a Salvation Army meeting, a man was giving his testimony. We call it a testimony, a witness. And he said this. He said, you know, I used to live for two things, beer and bikes. Do you drink beer here? I hear William Slake is pretty strong with the beer during the stampede time. This fellow said, I live for beer and bikes. And what he meant by bikes was his motorbike. He belonged to one of these bikey gangs we have in Australia where they wear the big leather jackets, you know, broom, broom, all around the place in a gang. And he said, I live for that. He said, I had a good job and I spend all my money on my Harley Davidson and on beer. And he said, I was always with my mates. We like mateship in Australia. We're always together. He said, that was my life. I lived for that. He said, then I fell in love with a girl and I got married. But she didn't make any difference to my life. I still live for beer and bikes. I spend all my money on my bike. She had to fit in with me. Then he said she got pregnant and our first child was being born. And I went to the hospital. I saw our baby born and the nurse gave me this little baby. And he said, I looked at this beautiful baby. I said to myself, I must have been like that. Beautiful, good. What have I done with my life? That's the Holy Spirit working. He went and said to his wife, look, when you come out of hospital, we're going to church. My God, she said, what's happened to you? No, he said, I'm serious. I want to be a good father to this little baby. She said, oh, I'll go with you, but only if you go to the Salvation Army, because I like that. And he said, after she came home, we went to the Salvation Army, and he said, we sat right in the back seat. Hi, you guys back there. We sat right in the back seat, and he said, you know, when I was sitting there, they were singing, and the fellow was preaching, he said, I was crying. I don't know why I was crying. I mean, I know why he was crying. He was crying because he felt guilty for the way he'd ruined his life, messed up his life. And he said, you know, when the man who was speaking, talking about Jesus, and he said, do you want to have your life changed? Do you want to find Jesus Christ? He said, come and kneel here at the front. And he said, I just about ran down there. And he said, that day I was born again. And he said, now... And he stood there in his Salvation Army uniform. He said, all my wife and I want to do is to tell other people about Jesus Christ and what a difference he can make in their lives. The Holy Spirit is indispensable to your conversion, to your salvation. Don't shut your mind if the Holy Spirit's prompting you. Perhaps somebody here tonight, Holy Spirit is convicting you. That means he's awakening your mind to the truth about your life. I mean, we're the best people in the world at covering up, aren't we? We can tell ourselves everything's okay when underneath we know it's not, but the Holy Spirit helps us to be honest. But of course, when you're born again, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. So number two is that the Holy Spirit is indispensable to your sanctification, to your holiness, or to your growth in Christian life, or to your growth in discipleship. He's essential because that change that began when you were born again, wonderful as it is, has to continue as you grow and develop and understand what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of purity. Because he comes into your life when you allow him. And he burns up all the rubbish there. And he purifies your motives. And he purifies your thinking. And he helps you to live a clean life. And so as you do that, you become a real Christian. And as the Holy Spirit fills your life, you learn to grow. And you know how you grow? You grow more and more like Jesus. Now, that may sound impossible, but the Holy Spirit helps you to do that. It says in the Bible that when the Holy Spirit comes to your life, he produces fruit in your life, like a kind of harvest in your life. And that harvest, beautiful harvest, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. If you think of all those things, what are they? They're really a description of the character of Jesus. So when people say that the Holy Spirit produces fruit in my life, it means He's helping me to become more patient as Jesus was patient, more loving as Jesus was loving, loving people that I normally wouldn't have looked at. He helps me to have peace when my life has been in conflict. You know, I remember once I have a great desire to talk to the people who stand around our street meetings. I hope you still have street meetings, Steve. Not in the winter, but in the summer. But when you have a street meeting, it's good for some of the people to be talking to those who are listening. And I remember talking to a girl one day, and she said to me, I'll never forget it, oh, she said, I'm not so much a person as a civil war. What she meant was there was so much conflict in her life. She wanted to do good, but so often she ended up doing the wrong thing. And she said, I'm not so much a person as a civil war. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He helps you to resolve those things that tear you apart. And if you're fairly human, you'll know what I'm talking about. So often what you want to do that's right, and you go out and you say, I'm going to do that this time, and you end up doing the opposite. When the Holy Spirit comes, He helps you to be strong, and your life becomes more and more Christ-like. Don't ever be afraid of letting the Holy Spirit come to your life. The Holy Spirit was given to us by whom? Jesus. He sent the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going away and I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus sends the Holy Spirit must be somebody who's going to really help us, because He's taking the place of the present Jesus in our life. You know, some people are afraid to open their lives to the Holy Spirit. They think they'll get unbalanced. They think they'll get over-emotional. But was Jesus ever unbalanced? Was Jesus ever over-emotional? Jesus Christ was the most sane, balanced person who ever walked this earth. And if He gives us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit acts just the same way as Jesus acted. And when the Holy Spirit comes, if He's the Holy Spirit that you've allowed into your life, He'll help you to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And He is someone of whom you need never be afraid. The Holy Spirit will always act in your life as Jesus Christ acts. And listen to what it says in the scripture. The great Apostle Paul says, we are being changed. We are being transformed from splendor to splendor into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And this is the work of the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit. If you want that reference, it's 1 Corinthians 3:18, one of my favorite verses. That it is the Lord who is the Spirit, who transforms our life from one stage to another into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And one great Christian writer said, the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is to so fill his being that he will take on the characteristics and principles of Jesus Christ. So no wonder the Apostle Paul said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you may say, well, if the Holy Spirit fills me, what happens to me? Does He obliterate my personality? No, He doesn't. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, He makes you the person you should be. Now, I remember hearing the testimony of a woman salvationist in Adelaide, Australia. She had been possessed by devils, and she had been freed from the power of the evil one. And she said, you know, when I had devils in my life, I didn't know who I was. One day I was one thing, one day I was another person. I was all kind of people. They swamped me. They took over my personality. But when Jesus Christ came to my life and the Holy Spirit filled me, I've become myself. It's true. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, He fills your heart with a desire for the things that are best, and you'll become people like Jesus Christ, holy and good, and people will begin to see that in you. All born-again Christians have the Spirit, because it says that in the Scripture. When we are born again, the Spirit comes to us. But then we are going to be changed and grow. So there's more of the Spirit that can fill our life, more and more. So if there's a shallowness in your experience and the Holy Spirit reveals it to you and you make your confession, then He fills you more and more. And then you become the kind of person that God wants you to be. I tell a lot of stories about Australia, because that's the country I know so well now. And in a town called Broken Hill, there's a great Salvationist called Jim Crocker. He was an alcoholic many years ago until he was born again and became a Christian and a Salvationist. And he worked in the mines. Broken Hill is a mining town, coal mining. And you know, in his life, everybody admires him. The miners go to him when they're in trouble. In fact, he's an envoy in the Salvation Army, and he's conducted more funerals than any other officer, because the miners only want Jim Crocker to conduct their funerals because they admire him so much. A man whose life came from alcoholism and despair to a Christ-likeness that everybody recognized. And he used to sell the Salvation Army papers in what I think you call the taverns. We call the pubs in Australia. And there was a pub where all the miners went. I don't know if it's like that in Canada, but certain groups gravitate to certain pubs. And this was the miners' pub. And in came Jim with his war cries, his papers under his arm. And he had a wonderful voice, and the men used to like him to sing. And one of the miners said, "Hey, Jim, before you come around with your papers, why don't you sing us a song?" So he put his papers on the bar and he began to sing. And he sang this song. "Oh, how I long to be like Jesus. Oh, how I long to be like Jesus." And one of the miners looking at him shouted out, "Oh, well, I think you've just about made it, Jim." That's sanctification. That's holiness. A man filled with the Holy Spirit that miners, tough, rough, rugged men said, "I think you're just about like Jesus, Jim." Holy Spirit, indispensable to your salvation and to your sanctification, and He's indispensable to your victory over temptation. Because there's a battlefield going on here in your heart. And Satan wants to destroy your life and wants to defeat you. And he does it by temptations that seduce you. But the Holy Spirit enables you to win a victory over the devil. How do I know that? Well, first of all, look at Jesus. You know, he was in the Jordan River. He was baptized. The Holy Spirit came down like a dove on his head. And the Holy Spirit filled him. And we read that the Holy Spirit sent him straight away into a desert where he would be tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit actually, it says in the Bible, drove him there so he could be tempted and face the challenge of his ministry. The fact that he was full of the Holy Spirit didn't exempt him from temptation. I read in the book where it said, after the dove, the devil. After the dove, the devil. And that's actually a bit like life. After you've had a wonderful experience, a spiritual experience of the Holy Spirit, even in a meeting, even like this weekend, sure enough, after this weekend, the devil will come and try to tempt you and draw you away from God. So after the dove comes the devil. But in that desert, when the devil came and tempted Jesus so fiercely, Jesus resisted the devil and had a stunning victory in the power of the Holy Spirit by using the Word of God. Because some people think Jesus was only ever tempted the three times he was in that desert. Jesus was tempted all through his life, right up until he was on the cross, when they tempted him to come down, didn't they? But always in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was able to defeat the devil. And like Jesus, we'd be tempted in our life from day to day. We'll be tempted to pander to popular taste, to go with the world, to compromise with the people around us, to be dishonest and untruthful. And the Satan will come and tempt you, but you'll be able to resist Satan in the power of the Holy Spirit. And just as Jesus won a stunning victory, you and I can win stunning victories through the Holy Spirit. He is indispensable. If you think you can fight against Satan by yourself, let me tell you again, you're bound to lose. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, he is indispensable. Do you need power? Are you a person who keeps giving into the same temptation? It's a funny thing, isn't it? Satan keeps tempting us with the same thing all the time. Because we're such suckers, we give in all the time. There's certain weaknesses in our character, and then we think we've got over them, and then suddenly we fall again. If you try to do it by yourself, you'll never do it. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, he can give you power. Who was the fellow who picked me up in the car the other day? Al Kennedy, he told me, had a big problem with smoking and he wanted to give up smoking. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, he did it like that. That can happen because the Holy Spirit gives you power to resist the devil. So he's indispensable for your salvation. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight who needs to say, I need to be born again. I want to find Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will give you faith. Perhaps you're a Christian and you know your life is not at the stage that God wants it to be and you need more power from the Holy Spirit to live a Christ-like life. Or perhaps you've got an area of weakness and you say, I need the Holy Spirit to resist temptation. You can ask the Holy Spirit tonight to come to you. And then my fourth point is the Holy Spirit is indispensable for witness and warfare as a Christian. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be my witnesses here where you live in Jerusalem and there, out there in Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the power of the Salvation Army from our very beginning. The Holy Spirit swept us right around the world like a prairie fire, you could only say. Weak, vulnerable people that we were, by the power of the Holy Spirit, with holy daring and with innovative skills and strategies only given to us by the Holy Spirit, we were able to do God's work in the world. And if we want to witness for Jesus Christ, if you want to win the world for Jesus starting at Caribou, you've got to have the Holy Spirit with you. That great story in the Bible. Many people have heard about the film Chariots of Fire. They don't know that Chariots of Fire idea comes from the Bible. Because there was a prophet called Elisha, and the king of a nearby country, the king of Aram, wanted to destroy the Israelites. But the prophet, he knew what God was going to do to help the people, and so he was enabling the Israelites to stand against their enemy. But he had a young assistant and they were up on a high place, and this young man, he saw all these enemies lined up coming to defeat them. they'd absolutely swamped the Israelites. And the young man said, look, we're going to be defeated. Look at all the enemy out there. And the prophet Elijah said, oh God, open the boy's eyes. And the boy opened his eyes, and the sky was full of chariots of fire that God had sent to destroy the enemy. And you know what the prophet said? He said this wonderful word. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And that's true, my dear Christian friends. When the Holy Spirit is with us, the power with us is far greater than the power of our enemies. And so even this weekend, when you have this council of war, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, He's going to give you vision, power, to see what God can do here in Williams Lake and beyond. William Booth, at one of the very first councils of war, he preached, and his sermon was, what next? So it's not enough to come here this weekend and enjoy this time of worship and fellowship. You've got to say, what next? William Booth actually said to the people, there are three dangers you've got to watch out for. Guess what they were? Listen. They all start with S. One, stagnation. Second, secularization. Third, self-conceit. By stagnation he meant beware of settling down and taking things the same old way, doing the same old things, coming Sunday by Sunday without any power. Don't stagnate and don't become secular. Don't take on the ideas of the world and copy what they're doing. Be pure and don't get conceited because of what you're doing and saying, look at us, at what we're doing. And those three dangers are still facing the Salvation Army and the church today. But the Holy Spirit is indispensable. He'll never let you stagnate. He'll shake you up and do a new thing all the time. He won't let you become secular. He'll keep your mind set on what God wants. And He will stop you from being conceited by what you do for God, because He'll show you the humility of Jesus Christ and help you to be humble. Now, what the Salvation Army and the church needs is not more strategies, not even more wonderful contemporary music groups. What we need is people filled with the Holy Spirit, the church as well as the Salvation Army. We need Spirit-filled people. And you say to me, oh, how can that happen to me? Well, I can tell you. You say, what about Jesus? He was a beautiful man. Can't I be like that? You know, it says in the Bible that Jesus was a man perfectly filled with the Spirit. That's because there was nothing in Jesus' life that separated him from God. No disobedience, no sin, no going his own way. And because there was nothing in his life that was wrong, God perfectly filled him with the Spirit. But you and me, we are not perfectly filled with the Spirit. Because often there's an area of disobedience. God wants us to do something and we haven't done it. Or there might be some sin or some temptation we've given in to. And so we are not perfectly filled with the Spirit. But what we can do is we can come to God. We can confess our faults. Bring as much as you know of yourself now to as much as you know of God. And God will fill you now. But that will only do you for now. As you grow and as you learn, then the Holy Spirit will fill you more, because there is so much more than you have yet received of the Holy Spirit. You say, oh, well, General Burroughs, that's what I really want. That's what I really want. How can it happen? Well, the thing is, key word is surrender. You see, you can't buy the Holy Spirit. A man came to Paul once and wanted to give him a lot of money to get the Holy Spirit. But no, you can't buy the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a gift. And you can't work to earn the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. And who does God give the Holy Spirit to? To the one who has surrendered himself on the altar. The one who has sort of given him his real self. I mean, you can give a lot of things to God that are highly commendable. You can give your money. You can give your time as a volunteer. You can give your talents to sing and to play and to do all kinds of things. You can give a lot to God, and God's very pleased. But the thing God wants more than anything else is yourself. Your real, real self. And when you empty yourself of yourself and at the altar give yourself to God, then he pours the Holy Spirit into your life. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And I would be wrong if I finished my address without saying to you, tonight you can ask for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You can come and stand here in the front and someone will pray with you. You can come and kneel here at this place of prayer, which is like an altar. We talked last night, and David also talked about being sacrifices, living sacrifices, offering yourself to God on the altar. And just as the fire came down on the sacrifices of old, so God's Holy Spirit will come down upon you. Perhaps you're a person here who has never been born again of the Spirit, and you want to have what the other people hear of God, and you want to become someone who knows and loves and serves Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is speaking in your mind, in your heart. Come, and someone will help you find that power. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have that lovely music rain upon us. Rain down. The Holy Spirit will rain down. You can come and kneel and stand even before we sing, even before I pray, because I challenge you this night, the Holy Spirit is indispensable in your life.